another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 300. Nope, that's not right. It's 248, and it's June 8th, 2020. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Boop Show. I screwed up. I was looking at the time of day. It's 347, or 347 in the p.m., and I said that was the episode number. That's wrong.
That's not even close.
No, we're probably 2 years from that, or however long it takes to get to that number.
Well, we got like 100, so 100 weeks. What is that?
I don't know. What is that? That's 2 years.
It's 2 years.
Yeah, because you got the 52 weeks, see? You miss one or two for holidays.
Listen here, see? As long as we don't miss any weeks, we got that. Listen here, see? Whenever you do that, always makes me think of the Warner Brothers cartoon. Where they do those impressions. And then it makes me think about how I've been reading in the news. They removed all the shotguns from Elmer Fudd's hands.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about that? It's kind of a charged issue right now. But how do you feel about guns not being in Elmer Fudd? Or Yosemite Sam doesn't have his pistols anymore. How do you feel about that?
I just say, if the rest of it is a thing of its time, then just don't air those particular episodes anymore. Why?
Well, the old ones still have it. They didn't remove them. Okay, so this is only for that new show they're doing. So all the old cartoons still have everything they always had.
Oh, intact. Okay.
Yeah. They're not doing Spielberg E.T. style. That's not happening.
Okay. See, I was just getting angry off the headlines.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with today's world. We get angry off the headlines, and then we find out later that we should have... Should have read into it a little bit or waited.
This is an outrage.
I learned that experience today kind of the hard way. And so did you with this Looney Tunes thing. So look at us. We both learned something and we're going to move on. All right?
It's all good, man.
It's good in the hood. All right, Brian. Time for us to dive in. I hope you guys enjoy what we brought today. I think you will. Here we go. Brian, do you like sports?
I love sports and I love potluck and I'm glad you brought something.
Do you like what sports are your? Do you have a favorite sport? You got the Carolina Panthers, so you probably like them, right?
Right. I like the football.
I don't know why that's so loud. Hold on. Sorry, everybody. That's not supposed to play. Okay. You like the football. How do you feel about America?
Are you talking about sports in video games or sports in real life? Because I love sports in video games. I like sports in real life.
Okay. Well, tell me how you feel about America's pastime, baseball. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so I've been to some baseball games, and I've nearly gotten hit with balls. I've been almost asleep. I watched Billy Crystal throw out a ball one time, and you know I like it. The spectacle is good, but I'll be honest with you. Going to a baseball game, every time I've been, they're always in the pretty cheap seats, and I'm just better off at home watching.
Well, I completely understand your point of view on that. Here's the deal. So I've always enjoyed a good sports game, but usually I lean toward NBA Jam or something with big heads in it, you know, like big googly looking dudes where the rules are a little shifty, you know, it's not exactly the hard and fast rules of whatever sport they're mimicking.
Right.
So I loved because something.
Because some things are boring if you do that, right?
Yeah, that's my whole feeling. Like I really like Tecmo Bowl. Remember Tecmo Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Great football game. And the reason it was great is because they didn't get all mired up in rules. They were like, well, what's fun? Let's do that. And those are the games I tend to like. I like, what did I mention before? Oh, NBA Jam, NFL Blitz.
Yes.
What was this Atari one where it was like a super future one and you had to play a team full of robots and stuff. Do you remember that? What was that called?
Yeah, wait. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What was that called? Oh, I can see it as plain as day.
It was like...
But I can't think of the title.
Rough and Tumble... Super Future Football
I'm
Man.
Sure it was something with like Futurtron or Foottron or something, I'm sure.
I don't remember. Battle Ball or... not Mutant Football.
Might be something like Battle Ball. That sounds more like... That, like it there.
But right. Mutant League Football, another good example. I loved that. I loved Mutant League Hockey. Loved it. Like, big fan of all that kind of weird sports games. And I'll play occasionally, I'll play a serious sports game. I'll play Madden. I'll play a NHL, whatever number we're on. I'll do that. But right now,
I think they've switched to, I think they switched to years now, right? Instead of doing the
they do years now. Yeah, now. So yeah, now it's Madden 20 and Madden. Well, they've been doing that for a long time. Madden 94 was my favorite version of the game, and NHL 94 was amazing back in the day. 94 had a good year for sports games on 16-bit consoles. But anyway, the point is
it was
what is the point? The point is
Wars.
Baseball. I like baseball in video game form, but I do not like it when it's serious. I like it when it's just a little goofy. And I've got the perfect game to recommend today. It's Super Mega Baseball 3. And you might say, whoa, 3? Where were the other two? Well, those came out as well. I own two. I never had... No, I had one on the PlayStation 3?
Three. Up here.
I think. And the last game was... I had it on PC. This version, this new one, I got on Switch. So I'm playing it on the Nintendo Switch.
Good, that's a good console to have it on.
Here's the beauty, though,
ask
dude.
Can I ask why right now I'm watching and I'm seeing a truck driving up a platform in the background of this... I don't know if you saw that or not.
I missed it, but there's a lot of stuff in the background going on, and it's all weird.
Like, can you see it? It's like it's climbing up that rock.
Yeah, there's you mean way in the back? Yeah, they're doing like they're in the equivalent of like an Arizona team here.
Okay,
and that's the other thing I wanted to mention. None of these are real teams; these are all fake. Like the one I play the most is just meat. They're meat. It's a meat mascot. It looks like meat. So like a steak face on the side of your hat. I forgot
the
name.
A steak face, like a T-bone, or
like a T-bone. I forgot the name of the team, but it's got a goofy.
Is it the T-bones? Please tell me it's the T-bones.
It's not the T-bones. It's like the meat faces or something like that. It's
the
real dumb.
Meat faces.
But it's basically like, hey, what if a team came out of Chicago and they're famous for like butcher stuff? So breadbasket of the country kind of thing, that sort of stuff. So. All the teams are fake. It's all made up. All the players, of course, are fake and made up.
Well, I hope so, because if these are supposed to be accurate representations of humanoids,
they're pretty
rough.
Yeah, they're pretty rough. It's an art style that I'm not going to say I'm 100% in love with. It's okay.
I'm going to tell you exactly what they got. They've got the cover of a Big League Chew, and then they brought it to life.
This
should be called Big League Chew.
That
the video game.
That is a great point. It is very much a Big League Chew looking piece of business. And it kind of works for what it needs to be. It's better than it was. The first version was really googly, real bad. Second version was a little more refined. This one's more refined, but not that different than two. The big difference here is this game is cross-platform playable. So if you are getting in and you're like, man, I sure hope there's somebody to play a pennant runoff with me. No problem, because everybody on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, Switch, they're all in the same player pool. And you can play anybody, anytime. So there's never a wait. You're always hopping right in. Multiplayer is a cinch to get into and to play. And I get my butt kicked, but that's okay. I'll get better.
Every time. How excited do you get when you hit something and you think it's going to be a home run, then it goes foul?
I mean, it's kind of the worst. Also, that's my biggest weakness right now is I'm not a great hitter, but I'm a pretty good pitcher. So I'm throwing a lot of guys out, also making them swing at a lot of balls, doing a pretty good job at pitching. But my swing or my timing on the swing is pretty bad. They don't really make you have to work too hard for any of this, though. It's all very arcadey. The rules are true baseball rules. There aren't any funky rules that way. But the way it plays and how quickly you just get to do things is great. Like the pitcher pitches, if you miss, if you catch or whatever, you jump right back to the pitcher. He pitches again. You're not waiting for people to walk around or do the normal baseball thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to watch that.
Yeah. And as always.
That's a shortcoming of real life and reality. That should not be something I have to wait and watch in a video game.
Do you ever just F up your zipper on your jacket so that it's completely like zip?
Do I ever not F up my zipper on my jacket? It's a real question. So,
gosh, while you're trying dang to- it. I'm going to kill somebody. All right. I'll leave that the way it is. Anyway.
I gotta ask you a question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
A couple questions about the game, real quick.
Ask away.
So, one thing that always breaks a baseball game for me, especially when I play in local co-op, my kids take forever to figure out what pitch they want and then pitch it.
Yeah.
And so it breaks it breaks the flow. I talk about it all the time. So is that when you're playing against other people, is it pretty fast? I mean, you have to, is it furious? Does it make you play fast?
No, you don't feel like you're being rushed or anything. You just kind of have to, you pay attention to what's going on. And when you turn over teams and, the defense runs off the field, there's a little bit of a pause, shows the score screen, you're sort of ready to start hitting or pitching whatever side you're going to be on. The actual mechanics of pitching are super simple. You can make it more complicated for yourself if you want, but it's pretty simple. Same with hitting. There's a little bit of nuance there, but most of the time you're just sort of trying to, you know, get the ball just over the plate and have the batter be confused about what's happening. It's nice to play real people because I feel like I'm not just, you know, making an AI feel bad about how bad it is.
Yeah, well, AI, anytime you play a baseball game with AI, usually it doesn't take you very long to figure out their game style, right? Every baseball game I've played, it's always been like that. I can't say this true across all the board because I haven't played every baseball game.
Sure, sure.
It's always, yeah, it seems like there's always a particular thing they do, and once you figure that out, it's pretty much
just
game over.
Yeah, and there's like, you can steal, and you can do all that.
Ooh, I love to steal.
And the pitcher can try to stop that by, you know, quick passes to the second base or whatever to try to stop somebody from stealing. You can get home runs. You can get all kinds of line drives. I mean, like, all the stuff in baseball that you're used to doing in baseball are here.
The way you said that, you can get home runs. I've never actually seen one, but apparently...
You can get them. You can absolutely get them. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's cool. It also has a campaign mode. So if you want to do like a full-blown, like, here's my big franchise season, you can do that. And it can be as long or as short as you want. You can kind of fiddle with those settings. You can simulate every game automatically that plays that isn't with your team. Or you can watch every one of those games. You can get super hardcore if you want to. Like, in a lot of ways, this is a complete full sports package game that you would get out of EA or somebody. But without the attention to say, hey, we want this to be like a simulation. It's just, this is about fun. And it really is. I really like it. The reviews are as good as you might expect. Or, you know, they seem to agree with me. I'll say it that way.
Right.
And, I recommend it, quite a bit. It's $44.
Wait.
It's, not the cheapest, ticket in town. So $44 seems like a lot to you. Then maybe hold off till it goes on sale or something. But, that's the price on pretty much everything. And again, you can get it anywhere. Every platform has it, and they all use the same multiplayer player pool, which is so like
super
Rocket League.
Super Mega Big League 2 Baseball 3.
Super Mega Baseball 3. There you go. By Metalhead Software, who makes it.
And this is everywhere, right? You sell it on the Switch, on the PS4, yep. And Xbox One.
Everything. There's not a
PC?
Game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's not a game-playing machine that will not currently play Super Mega Baseball 3. And this whole trend of games being more and more available cross-platform when you play, you know, so there's a bigger pool of players is so great, dude. I love it.
It is. And how much trouble are we in? Because I've seen, I haven't kept up totally abreast, but I've seen a couple of things that kind of scare me whenever they talk about diversifying chipsets and that kind of thing in next generations, because we've played that before where, you know, every console had its own little chipset, and it was really hard for porting games over because of multiple reasons that are really low level. Mm-hmm. And so I worry about that, but hopefully not.
I'm glad that we're here. I mean, it's using the same. Everybody's got the same net code. Rocket League does this with no problem. Everybody's using the same player pool with Rocket League. Same thing with Modern Warfare, the new Modern Warfare that came out late last year, the one that's kind of the game now, or, you know, the current Call of Duty. Totally cross-platform. You can play it on any of those devices. And you can even in that game see, like, oh, those three guys are PlayStation players, those other two guys are Xbox players, and the rest of us are on PC. Like, it's just a big mix. They don't care anymore, and that's good. I'm all in.
It's perfect.
Bring it. We've come to a new place. Anyway.
Finally, we can stop complaining about it and just enjoy ourselves.
Oh, the only other thing I don't like about it. Oh, there's that car. I see what you're talking about now.
Oh, you see the truck finally?
Yeah,
the
it's going like vertical. That rock. Yeah, it's like vertical. That's crazy.
It's very distracting. It's like, what's going on right now?
That's true. What was I going to say? The
you didn't like something else.
I don't remember.
You said there's one more thing I didn't care for.
there are moments certain, you know, batters get up to the plate. They sort of have, you know, their style of where they hold the bat. Sometimes it's low and down here. Some guys are up here and they're just kind of swaying and moving. That's fine and everything. But there's a couple of people that come out and hold it like a wiener right in front of their legs.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It's uncomfortable. Also, here. Oh, so this is... this makes it cool, though. If you hit the ball and line drive it right back at the pitcher, if it's super hard, and right. it hits him in the it'll knock him out. Like the pitcher will just flatten
I'll go ahead and tell you that is I don't worry too much about hitters usually because they usually have the you know they have the helmets with the ear cup on that one side. So if they get hit or beamed in the head, mm-hmm. they're probably all right. And they're kind of standing to the side. But I worry about that pitcher every time, man.
Yeah.
Because he is right in the center.
No, he's a target. He's a standing target. Yeah.
Yeah.
He may as well just jump in front of that damn ball.
Yeah. I mean, but talk about some motivation to throw a good ball.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's like, God, I hope he didn't hit this.
So if you don't, if you got $44 and you're like, man, I sure could use a little sports game. This is a good deal. And I like it. And
so I can't like wait until like the end of the year and hope they'll have some kind of big sale or anything. I need to get it in today.
I mean, but you'll just not play it for a long time.
That's
up to you. It's up to you. Brian, tell me about A Short Hike. What is that?
Oh, I'm going to tell you about A Short Hike. It's a short, highly pixelated indie adventure game that I picked up off the Epic Game Store, I think a few months ago. It was free at the time. It's not free anymore, but you can occasionally still find it for free. But you're probably going to pay $7.99 for it. And probably the right price for this game because it is only maybe less than 4 hours. Most people usually finish in about 2 hours. So it is truly a short hike. You are a animal, a bird animal, believe it or not.
Wait, you're a bird animal. Explain that. You're an animal.
You're a bird animal.
Okay. And you're driving a car, right?
No, you're not driving the car. You're Claire. You're playing the character Claire in this A Short Hike. And your parents are taking you out to the middle of nowhere, a park, and you're trying to the whole quest is you trying to take a hike up the mountain because you got no cell service. But you're a bird.
Where's the bird person?
Oh, the bird's coming. No, this you're only seeing the loading screen right now. So oh, I mean, right. that's just like the setup of what's going on. You got to take the car there. Once you get there, you're going to see some things that are very fascinating. When I saw this game, I was intrigued by the art style. The art style is very pixelated.
You know what it is, don't you?
What's that?
This is happening now, and it's happening more often. And I noticed it immediately. This is indie developers going, hey, what was it about the PlayStation 1 era we can capture without it looking like complete garbage poo? And this is it. This is what they've done right here. This is PS1. Everything's aliased. Everything's jiggity jaggedy. Things wiggle. Your polygons look kind of crappy. Like, that's what this is.
Right.
Right.
And I agree with you. It's a bit of nostalgia and a love letter, I think, to Animal Crossing. If you'll notice here, if you pay attention, that the fish in the water look just like the fish in Animal Crossing. Mm. You'll notice that there's, as you play, you're like, oh, here's a star-shaped hole, which I need to dig, or something is that. There's a lot of things in this game that are meant to be like a loving gesture towards Animal Crossing without being an Animal Crossing clone, because you're mostly playing top-down, and you're mostly doing quests that are not anything like Animal Crossing. There's not really a market other than you collect coins, but those coins are just so that you can purchase a few items like feathers, because you're a bird and you need golden feathers to climb.
Yeah,
which makes sense, right? So you got to have like
if you're a bird, you need golden feathers to climb. That was what I was always told as a child.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to have that, because what you're thinking is, okay, how am I going to get to the really high here on this thing? Well, I know I'll take a hike because I'm a bird.
Yeah.
Right. Makes sense, right? So you can't really fly. So you got to walk. Well, and
chat wants to know where Claire is, because all I see is birds.
Right. So I'm Claire. Right? You're playing as the character Claire, and you're talking to characters as you come across them as you're going up this, you're hiking up this trail. And these characters are charming and fun.
So
and
wait, the bird is Claire then? The bird is Claire. Then.
Yeah, the bird is Claire. The bird you're watching now, this blue bird that you're watching right now is Claire. And Claire is wearing a cape, as you do. And you'll notice there's a very clever way of representing stamina. You only have so much stamina when you're doing things. And once you get your first golden feather, your chest and cape turn red. And you will know that you have run out of stamina when it turns back to blue. Right now, I'm talking to a character, can't see him because there's a tree, but then there's also some sticks to pick up. And I was thinking, oh, I'm picking up these sticks because I'm going to construct something. I never constructed anything so far, but I've only played for about 2 hours.
Yeah. And you got, but, like, that means you got two left. So get on it.
I pretty much have two left, yeah. And I haven't come across it yet. But this is very much in the vein of you have to do this one quest to do this other quest. So there's a major overarching quest that's trying to get to the top of the mountain. But along the way, you'll have to negotiate with characters. Ooh, and find elements. Okay. Right? You have to negotiate with them to get them the objects they have so that you can have them. Like you want to need a shovel. Well, you can't convince this kid on the beach that you need his shovel until you bring him a toy shovel.
How, have you ever seen a bird use a shovel?
I have now. this week on a short hike. By the way, this game is super chill. It's relaxing like you would expect from something with Animal Crossing. It's just laid back. You're mostly just doing exploration, going to signpost to signpost to find out the direction you're supposed to be going in. Yep. And once you get there, you'll find the next signpost. And you're collecting feathers, you're collecting coins, and the music is beautiful. I don't know if you still have the video playing or not, where you can play the music.
Yeah, let's bring it up. Let's see here.
But music gets very chill.
Oh, yeah. Very Animal Crossing.
It's very Animal Crossing, very much so. Now, there's a thing that I want to talk about in this game that's very interesting. We talked about this artistic decision to make this very pixelated and make it have a little nostalgia feel to it. Unfortunately, I feel like maybe it was too much in the way it was handled, and you can adjust that in the settings. So you can choose to go away from the default mode and increase the anti-alias. Well, actually, what's not creating anti-alias, what it's doing, I believe, is maybe lessening the blocks that are there, and then you can actually see the anti-alias at that point. So when I started, I was like, well, I can crank it up to 125%. I can crank it up to 150. And then there's like this setting that says, do not use this. Don't even think about it. This is for accessibility only. Do not look at it because it's not good. Well, after playing this game for about 2 hours, my head was starting to hurt. My eyes were hurting from trying to focus in on these pixelated graphics. And so I was like, let me just take a look. So I took a look. I turned on none of the pixelation. I actually turned all the pixelation off. And, oh my God, it was so much better.
Really?
It was so much better. I appreciate what the artist and, you know, the creator of the game was going for to create this.
What they're going for. They're saying, hey, 1997, remember that? That's what that is.
Yeah. Remember how your eyes hurt back in 1997?
Yeah.
But when I turned that the other way, I enjoyed it so much more. My eyes weren't feeling like they were strained. And in this case, it fits me better to turn off this effect. And I wish they didn't try to deter me so hard not to do that, because they had a very specific artistic vision. And I respect that, but my enjoyment was being hindered by the game. And I was streaming this, and many people in my chat room agreed that it looked a lot better with it not being pixelated like that. And so I don't know.
Maybe other people choice,
argue
right?
the other way.
Yeah.
I don't like to argue with somebody's artistic choice, because it's an artistic choice.
Yeah.
And but it was taken away from my gameplay.
Do you have this video? Doesn't show it, I guess, but
no.
Yeah, we'd have to see it differently. I tried to do a quick search for a version where somebody played it not like this, and I can't find one where they didn't. So I think Brian may be the only one that knows.
Right. If you go to Twitch and look at my video yesterday, I'll like upload a little snippet later on. But I streamed it and I turned it off here in my little stream, and it was, like I said, it was so much more enjoyable, in my opinion. But at $7.99 for around 2 to 4 hours worth of play, or if you had picked it up, if you've been collecting the Epic Game Store games and you happen to get it, do it. This is a Humble Bundle, originally published by the Humble Bundle. It's actually went out since then. Now it's on the Epic Game Store. I believe it's on, I know it's definitely on Steam. It could possibly be on the Switch. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's on any consoles or not. But it's branched out since then, and you can find it, like I said, fairly inexpensive. Especially if you go to like Is There Any Deal, you can find this game pretty easily. And I do recommend it. I do recommend it. I enjoyed myself. I have not finished it yet. It is a short hike, but the characters are a lot of fun. and it's they're fun to interact with, and they say some funny stuff. As a matter of fact, I have never laughed as much as I laughed during one exchange with one of the characters. I don't want to give away what it was because it was so cheeky.
And you say this thing's somewhere $8 or south of
eight bucks or less.
Yeah. Okay.
$7.99 is our suggested retail. If you have the Humble Bundle monthly, I would not be surprised if it's in the Trove. I would be surprised if they took it out of there. You know, familiar with the Trove?
No, I don't remember the Trove. What's the Trove?
Okay, so the Humble Bundle monthly thing, you get to choose, I think it's either eight or ten games, mm-hmm. according to what level you are and how long you've been there. But additionally, they have like a archive of games that they've published specifically, and you can just access those games at any time. I think it's something like 20 or 30 games in there, and I would not be surprised if it's in there. I may be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Well, relive the innovative spirit of the PlayStation 1 era and watch it today. All right. Now I'm going to tell you about another game. I picked it up on Steam. This is brand new and just entered early access. I was a little suspicious at first because I'm still not super in love with the look of the thing, but gameplay wise, they really captured something. So it's called Gunfire Reborn. It is available on PC, early access over there. Somebody, in fact, I don't have the review in front of me, but basically somebody said this is like Risk of Rain 2 meets what's the other one they said? Like Dead Cells, and then they had a baby with like Borderlands, and that's the game.
And it looks like Borderlands with cats is what I'm seeing so far.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. So it's a roguelike for sure. You go in, you do the best you can. If you die, you go out. But you took some money with you so you can upgrade your stuff in between rounds and then go try it again. It's a first-person shooter, and you're a little rat dude, a little mouse guy.
Oh, I thought you were a cat. You're a mouse.
Oh, I'm sorry. You might be a cat.
You could be a mouse. I don't know.
This is the whole thing. This is the only character I've played so far. The other one the one that's available, you have to unlock after a bunch of time. Because again, it's in early access. They don't have all the characters in. Anyway, you're this little chibbly looking, guy, and you go into these worlds and you shoot a bunch of stuff and they drop weapons and you pick those up. And that's the part that's very Borderlands-like. Like they'll have a bunch of spec upgrades. So you grab it and you swap out the weapon you got. Now you can shoot better, do better. And you kill as many guys as you can. You get to the end of the levels. There's puzzles. There's sometimes shortcuts. It's always different, always mixed up and changed every time. Risk of Rain is a good comparison because there is definitely that vibe going on here that you would have in Risk of Rain 2. And it's incredibly satisfying combat. The gunplay is really fun. You forget that you're just a dumb cat person or whatever you are. And you have a whole lot of fun while you're playing it. When you go back to the tavern place, you upgrade some of your skills and your abilities and all that stuff and go back out, try it again. Weapons get better. Enemies get harder. Kind of what you think there.
It's a good game loop.
Yeah, it's got a really good loop. And it's currently enjoying an overwhelmingly positive review on Steam. I'm not surprised.
Nice.
I think this totally rocks. I can't help, though, but wish... The overall art style, which is kind of a minimalist, like low poly count looking thing, I'm okay with that. Right. That isn't my problem. I just don't like the characters in it. And that includes the enemies. I know this is going to vary depending on who you are, but like this little panda he's talking to at the table right now, he's fine. Can I just be a dude? Do I have to be one of these animals? I don't know.
Right.
I just want to be a furry.
Do I really have to be a furry?
I mean, it's not even a furry thing. I don't mind that. Like, there are plenty of games where I'm an animal, and it's fine. Let's play. I'll play those.
You play
games.
Animal Crossing every day.
Sure. Well, I'm a dude in that, but yes. All your neighbors are animals.
Your point is well taken.
Yeah. But this is cool. What's the only other complaint I would have? The only complaint I have is I would play more of it probably if I wasn't so hooked on Deep Rock Galactic right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because
still playing Deep Rock Galactic.
Oh yeah, dude. Every day I'm getting missions in. I love that game. That game rules. We should play that game after this. We should play live now.
We should totally play
after
that.
The show. We should do a mission after the show. What do you say, Brian? What do you say? One mission. What do you say?
I would love it, but I have not prepared anyone for it at the house.
Damn it.
They might would be mad.
Okay, fair enough.
But if any other day, yes.
Here is their description, by the way. The company is called Duoyi Interactive. They're in Hong Kong. I think they're in Hong Kong. Yeah. Gunfire Reborn is an adventure level-based game featuring FPS, roguelike, and RPG. Players can control their heroes, although they spelled heroes wrong. That's fine. With various
always, every time.
With various abilities to experience diverse build gameplay, use randomly dropped weapons to explore random levels. This game can be played by single player or co-op up to four. Now, I haven't done it with the co-op, but look, that'd probably be fun. But so far, it seems cool, seems nifty. And I'd like to see how this grows and stuff. There's one weapon that lets you... it's like a revolver, but it shoots out like fire bullets. And man, you can cause some mayhem with those things. It's just good. The guns are good. I'm surprised how good it is. That's what I'll say. It's surprising. Brian, let's talk about the also surprising Turmoil. The heat is on. This is the Switch edition of a game that I already have.
The heat is on.
You tell me if it's worth it.
You
is it worth it?
This up years ago, 2016, on the PC, like on Steam. But this is my first time I've played it because I didn't see it until recently. I knew nothing about it. I have never been really a big oil rush simulator guy. That's not me. Mm-hmm. And doesn't scream at Brian saying, "Hey, Brian, would you like to be in the 19th century? And you find some oil and compete against other prospectors." I probably would have said, not really.
Not your thing, huh?
Not my thing, okay. But, okay. So I received this product for free. So you know me, I'm down with that.
Yeah. Oh, a quick side note, real quick. Sorry.
Right.
Just to let people know before I forget, because I will forget. Civ 6 on Switch, which is apparently a killer version of Sim 6. People say it's an amazing port. Is only $15 on Amazon right now. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Crazy
if you
cheap.
Were like sitting on that thinking, hey, should I get that? Shouldn't I get it? That's crazy cheap. I picked it up. It's on its way. I already own this on like two other devices. I don't care because I love Civ. So $15, hell of a bargain. And it's only, I think today only. And it's like one of those flash sale things. So get it if you can get it. All right, Brian, sorry. Go ahead.
Don't miss it. No, Turmoil, the heat is on. I actually got the game they sent me, the code they sent me for review was both the full game and the DLC. The heat is on. I don't know exactly what enhancement was there because I haven't finished playing it yet, but I'm going to finish the review this week. But I did play this, and it is, just like I said, it is a simulator, a strategy simulator, where you're bidding against the computer who is playing three other NPCs. And you're bidding on leasing land so that you can take your dowser. And what is he a dowser? Is that what he is?
Dowser. Dowsing rod, right? Where you're trying to
find
out
the thing. Right, he uses a dows rod, right. And so he's a dowser, and he walks around, and he tries to find the oil in a single screen. And so then you come along, and you throw down your oil rig, and you start pumping away after you, of course, and create and spend money. To run pipe and then upgrades to the pipes.
You're laying pipe. Is that what you're saying? You're laying pipe. Is that what you mean?
You're laying pipe and upgrading pipe. Okay. So that you can extract even more oil from the randomly generated oil deposits on these screens. But that's the primary game. There is time based. The months go by. The days go by in the month. And you're against the deadline before your lease runs out, and you've got to create a profit because usually you go to each of these lands that you've leased with $2,000.
Right.
I guess that's real cash. They didn't say anything else, so I believe.
Back in the day, dude, that was real money. You could.
That
buy,
was real money.
Yeah, still
and
is.
So what you wanted? Right.
I still take
$2,000. What are you gonna spend? What are you gonna spend your money on? It'll still be a lot of money for me. What are you gonna spend your money on? You're gonna spend it on horses. And carriages that can move that oil back and forth, either to the east. No, it's the left store or the right store.
Ah, the left and right stores.
The left and right stores. Why is that important? Because oil prices fluctuate quickly, and you have to watch them. And usually, when one's going up, the other store is going down. So you have to make sure you're sending your horses in the right direction. So you get there's a lot of management going on. There's a lot of sim management during this part. Yeah. Less strategy, more simulation.
Yeah.
At that point. And so far, every time I've played, I've gotten my butt handed to me. These other guys are so much better than me. Now, have you say you played this game?
Oh, yeah.
Too,
I played I have the PC version, but I don't know what's in. There's more in here than the PC version has. Like, maybe there's some DLC that I did never get on PC or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, like I said, the Heat of Zone is the only DLC that I'm aware of, but it is the one that I got to play. I don't know, like, what it brought extra. I don't know if there's more saloons.
Yeah, it could just be their name, like the, you know, just the Switch name for the port or something. I don't know.
Maybe so. Well, it listed as DLC, which you can purchase on Steam. I did
see
that.
Here's some of this music. Oh, whistling for the... Oh, there you go. Get that going there. We got all sorts of old-timey business happening.
That's actually the good part. Now, you don't only get dowsers. You also can upgrade your equipment as you go along, and you can get more mechanical things other than some dude out there with a stick to find stuff. And he finds a little faster because the dowsers are kind of slow, and so the days are ticking off. Usually, I would tick off like 15 or 20 days in January before they even find anything. And then I would throw down a couple of horses so they could collect the oil and deliver it where it needed to be. But also you can put down a storage. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to sell it and you want to kind of store some of it until the prices get better at the stores.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible idea, by the way, because what I did, I thought I'd be smart. So I started laying down stuff and I laid down that store, and then my dowser walked right in front of the storage container and he says, "There's oil here." And I'm like, "Okay, no problem." So I tried to lay down my rig and I couldn't put it there. And I said, "Well, can I delete this thing?" Nope. Mm. No, I could not. So that round was done. It was toast. Yeah. Also, by the way, I was playing this on the Switch console, and I've developed a drift in my left stick.
Oh, no.
And this game is not forgiving.
Oh, when you got that a drift. Bums me out. The drift. I have the drift, too, but it's because my daughter borrowed my Joy-Cons, and now they're all drifty from all her Animal Crossing playing.
Manimal Crossing.
They should make a game called Manimal Crossing.
Manimal Crossing.
And it should be that dude from that 80s TV show, Manimal. Remember that?
Right. I love that. So the game I was playing was called Turmoil. I had the DLC additionally, the Heat of Zone.
Yeah.
And less than 20 hours is how long this game runs. And it is usually less than $10. It has been free at a couple of places. And it is from the developer Gameus. And I don't think I mentioned earlier that A Short Hike is by Adam. The developer was Adam Grayu, I believe that is how you pronounce that. And I enjoyed both of these games this past week. Both of them are sub $10 games, and I had every bit of fun.
Nice.
That could be had. Especially considering that I got both of these games for free. I didn't spend any money.
Yeah. Brian did the ultimate and cheap and did not pay for either of these.
Wasn't demos. No. But I went cheap this week, baby. No,
they're full games. The truth is, though, this Turmoil game you could play. I mean, yeah, there's, you know, sort of the campaign for 20 hours, but there's kind of an unlimited mode where you just play until you're sick of it. So you could do that.
Right. And yeah, I didn't make it through all the way here. I got in about 2 hours worth of gameplay and I was totally frustrated with the drift. And so I actually, about halfway through the game, somebody made a very good point. I had my USB controller, so I just plugged it in. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? I don't know why I didn't think about that. I just...
Wait, USB controller? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you could you had a pro controller too, right? You could use that.
I do not have a pro controller, believe it or not. So I just used my Link USB controller, plugged into the side of my console and played. I have the 8-bit do dual D-pad,
yeah.
But I didn't think that would be very good for this.
It might be okay for it, right?
I don't know. I was trying to fit because I was like, oh man, that's going to be tough using that D-pad to kind of navigate because you got to be pretty accurate on going over top of those pipes you're laying in Turmoil.
That's true.
If you don't lay them down just right, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, you got to be careful how you lay your pipe.
You got to lay that pipe just right. And I also was always overspending, and it took me a little time to figure out, too. I was overspending on my piping because I was going, well, I just want to drag this down as far as I can, and then the oil would be at a higher level, and I would dig straight through it. Wow. And you have to have your end of your pipe, like a straw, in the oil.
Wow. That's
delicious.
Yes, that sounds tasty.
Hey, it is delicious.
Real quick, thinking of controllers. Within Reach, I would like to showcase the following controllers. Okay.
Show me your controller.
This is embarrassing how many of these I have. All right. So here we have.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Here's a wired only that I prefer on my PC because I don't like lag. This is an off-brand thing that I ended up really liking called the Easy SMX, and I don't know who makes it, but it's rad. It just feels like a 360 controller or an Xbox One controller, and it feels really good. And they were cheap, and it was also... Oh, what was that?
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. You go ahead.
It's all right. Over here, I got a Nimbus.
Ooh,
Steel Series Nimbus.
I've never seen this one.
This is one of those MiFi controllers you use with like an Apple TV or your tablet or whatever.
Okay.
So that's what that is. They sent me one of these to demo. And then right over here, I've got the worst controller I ever bought. The Steam controller. I freaking hate this thing. I hate it.
The worst Steam controller. I'll say this. Okay. So the curve for learning the Steam controller is too darn high.
It's not even a curve. It's like, give me two damn analog sticks. I think these two things are cool, what you're trying to do with the PC stuff, and I'm all for it. But move this stick over here, put another one over here, and move these damn buttons out of the way, and you got a real controller on your hands. This was a mistake.
You got a real controller.
A single stick controller. Terrible idea. Terrible.
Right. There was times I found that it worked for me for certain games, and it definitely is okay. So it makes some conceits in order to be a controller that can be practically a full keyboard and mouse.
Well, that's what you want. I agree. And that's what you want in a good controller, a controller that almost works in a few cases. Right. It's not enough for me now. Look at this thing. Look what I got here.
Right.
This is, the NVIDIA Shield, they sent me this years ago.
Oh, yeah, the NVIDIA Shield controller.
They don't make it anymore, the all-built-in one with, like, the whole unit. But I thought this was pretty badass at the time.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's still pretty cool.
I was playing PC games via Steam, and I just, wirelessly sent them over here. And then you can, I think it runs Android, so you're just running, like, native Android stuff as well. I don't actually remember that, but. Anyway.
That's a good question. I think you're right.
No, it still has HDMI out. I wonder if I could use this as like a set-top box still.
Duh.
Maybe. All right. Well, those are just the controller. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's that other one? Oh, yeah. Here's my PlayStation 4 controller, and it has another thing I was testing, which is this little phone holder thing. So.
Oh, I like those. Those are something that I have as well. Yeah. And I had to use like some software for mine.
Yeah, they don't have to do that anymore because in iOS, they just support it now. So they'll just Bluetooth to a Xbox or a PlayStation 4 controller, and that's what this is. But this little accessory is like $6, no big deal. It's a plastic thing that just wraps around it and makes it so you can mount your phone and then just sort of play it. I mean, it looks really stupid, but if you want to play a controller game that way, Bob's your uncle.
It's not bad. I like it. I like it, Bob. Anyway, I like it, Bob.
Show and tell for controllers. Yes, go ahead.
I didn't have anything to show or tell today, but I did have something to show and tell. I sent you a link to a clip I made of this of a short hike where I turned the pixelation off.
Oh.
And you probably want to turn it down because it has me talking, but you should be able
to see. That's fine. Where did you put this? Where is it?
I sent it to Discord. I sent a link in the Discord.
All right, I'm going to click it. Hold on, everybody. Let me click it. Let me click that
click.
Hold on, I got to copy it over here. Okay, here we go. All right, so chat room, you wanted to see the difference? Now you get to. This is the difference.
And like I said, artistic choice in this case to me was kind of.
How far in is it?
Oh, it should be immediate. Okay, so which one did you click on the wrong link? Because I sent you two links. The first link I sent you was the MKV file, but this last link I sent you should have been the one that just went to the 30-second clip.
Oh, there's the clip. I got the one. Oh, that's weird. It's showing the entire thing. Let me try that again. Hold on to your butts, everybody. Hold on to your butts.
It is showing the whole thing. Or maybe I'm just behind because I'm watching.
Okay, there you go. Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks so much better.
Yeah, I mean.
That's so much better, dude. Oh, my gosh. This is the only way I would play this.
Right. I mean, I get your artistic decision and choice, but they tried everything they could to stop me from doing that. And I'm like,
but
you
gotta remember
this.
The old stuff. Okay. When it looked poopy like that, it wasn't because they were choosing to have it do that. It's because the PlayStation 1 had technical limitations that made it so that's the best you could do. So these people are trying to recapture the best we could do. Come on now. Like, clean it up like this. This looks great.
I thought it looked great. I enjoyed it so much better. My eyes stopped hurting. I didn't have any more eye strain. I felt relaxed, because that was really the point of the game, I believe, was just to have a nice relaxing hike and romp. So in this case, like I said, I hate to argue anybody's artistic vision. I get it.
But I think this is them saying, hey, it's about time we have that aesthetic. Let's see if people like it. But the fact that they had to include a really smooth version means that they're not 100% in. You know what I mean? Right. Because if they were totally into, like, oh, yeah, we're bringing back that look of the late 90s. This is happening. They're doing it. They would lean in and not give you an option. But no, they gave you an option. That tells me everything I need to know right there.
Right. I would rather them give me the clean version first and then go, hey, you really enjoy our throwback. Mm-hmm. Try this.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Quick mentions. I've been playing BattleTech again. It's available on, I don't know where it's all at. I assume it's just PC, but maybe it's other places. But this is the MechWarrior BattleTech world universe turn-based strategy thing that came out a couple of years ago. I haven't played all the DLC, so I'm kind of digging through some of that now. Think, XCOM meets, I don't know what to compare it to. It's giant mechs on a big map. And
giant mechs, what do you want from me?
Beating each other up and shooting missiles at each other, and it's rad. And so I love it, and I'm playing that again just for shits and giggles. I've talked about it on the show before. How about...
is that a literal statement?
Shits and giggles?
I mean...
Yeah, where did that come from?
I don't know. Are you sitting on the toilets, you're pooping and you're giggling about it? What are you doing? Your wife's banging on the door. What are you doing in there? What's so darn funny?
Yeah. Never thought of this before. But now that you bring it up,
right?
Where did that come from? And why are we...
Do we want to know?
I don't know if we do. I think we don't.
I don't know if we want to know.
All right, Brian, tell me about the Overcooked being free on Epic Game Store and how you picked it up.
Well, Scott, Overcooked is free for the Epic Game Store. All right, so right now for the next couple of days, we've got Overcooked is free on the Epic Game Store. But the question is,
yeah.
Should I even bother putting that to my library when there's Overcooked 2? Is Overcooked 2 better?
Yes, it is a better game. Yes.
Right.
100% better game. So yes, you shouldn't.
So do I even though free is free, why? I mean.
I think you don't even install it. You just go buy it, and then now you've got it forever from that store, and you don't have to worry
about
it.
There you go. That seems like the reason for me to do it. It's like, okay, maybe I'll play Overcooked 2, and I'll like it so much, I want to revisit Overcooked 1, but I can't think why I would just run out, download, load it up, play the first one before I play the second one.
The way I would look at it, Overcooked 1 and 2, I would have a very hard time playing 2 and then going back to 1, because everything 1 was, 2 is, and then some. So you're just going back to, like, it's not like there was a better story or you missed the whole first half of something or... Like, none of that. It's just more of the same and then better because they've learned some things and they tweaked some stuff and they've added some stuff. Like, there's just no reason to go back. But free.
That's
free.
So I add it to my library. It's in my library.
I do that every time, even if I don't want the game or I already even own it. Yeah. I already own GTA 5. So when that went free over there, of course I went and did it because now I've just got it there. But I don't need it. I already have it. So
I'll tell you, for a while, I was a little bit apprehensive on adding things from the Epic Game Store because lots of times they implied that I had to subscribe to the developer's newsletter before I could get it because that was the default behavior. Now they don't do that by default. Now it's unchecked. And so I feel much more free just to go click.
Not a fan of that. Don't like it.
I get it. I mean, if that's the cost of it, then that's fine. Don't call it free. Call it free to the cost of your privacy,
your private information.
Right.
Yeah, I see that.
And I know sometimes I do like the developer enough and I feel comfortable with the developer enough that I do go ahead and subscribe to the newsletter, but it's not something I just willy-nilly give out.
No, because we live in a society where we're trying to, do some things and stuff.
Stuff and stuff and stuff. Give me my free game.
Now, this.
It's a mean Mario.
Time to play Guess My Game. Where Brian and I play a little audio for each other and we try to guess each other's games. I'm going
to
play one first. And the only hint I'll give you is we're talking 16-bit era. I won't even tell you the console. You'll probably figure it out. And there's a reason I'm playing this today. Even though I didn't play this game back in the day, something is happening today that reminded me of it. So I'm going to play it and see if you can figure it out. All right, here you go. Any guesses? Thoughts?
No. There's bits that sound familiar, but there's not whole pieces of anything that sounds familiar.
There's one part that almost gives it away, but I kept it in because the reason it's so weirdly used here. So I'm going to play that bit again. So that's somebody spamming some buttons in there.
Okay. That's what I was curious about because I was like, it almost sounds like Go Joe at first. And I was
you'd be on the right track because you're
really,
So it's a G.I. Joe. It was G.I. Joe for the Super NES. G.I. Joe? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. I don't remember that at all.
It was not a very good video game. It was a very bad video game. At least that's what everyone said at the time, which is why I steered clear of it. However, it came up because on YouTube right now, Hasbro is running back-to-back nonstop live stream of all the G.I. Joe episodes.
Nice.
And it's just on all the time. I tweeted about it earlier. It is great, dude. Freaking great.
That game sounds like it was Frankenstein from a lot of other things to make intellectual property as quick as possible.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded very familiar.
And even when like some of the characters you recognize from the show, like Destro or somebody would talk, it's not even close to the voices in the cartoon. These days, they would hire all those people and it would be legit. What they used in this thing was super bad. It also is just a mess. It's just not a good game, dude. Visually, like graphically, it makes you want to die.
The best part of that game was spamming Go Joe.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. He was just spamming
Go Joe.
Yeah. Here, I'll play a little.
Your game sucks so much that you have to do that.
I'll play a little clip from G.I. Joe.
Lady J sure has a flair for the obvious.
She sure did, didn't she? How about this one?
I can hear those crystals vibrating.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Oh, I hate it when the crystals are vibrating.
How about this one?
Frozen fudgies, what a treat. Lots of chocolate, really sweet. Full of taffy, raisin, and nuts. They'll melt in your mouth and turn to lead in your guts.
Nice. Gross.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Hey, you know, out of all of those PSAs they had in every G.I. Joe, there's only one thing that I remember, and it had nothing to do with the PSAs.
What?
It's that apple seeds have cyanide in them in very small amounts.
Yep, that's true.
That's the only thing that I ever learned from G.I. Joe.
I remember that.
If you could get the blob thing to go over to the apple orchard and eat enough of the apple orchard, it would kill it.
Hold on, I'm going to find this. Apple seeds. I gotta think this exists. Is this the one? This might be it. Okay. Here, enjoy.
I think.
Okay, here we go.
This is easily the coolest.
Oh, it's just a guy talking about the show.
Nah.
All right. Well, I love the PSAs, and then those fake PSAs that were like pre-YouTube parody things. They're the greatest things ever made.
Dude,
G.I. Joe is just great. It's great. The 80s G.I. Joe is great. And I could watch it all day. And thankfully, this is like a 24-hour nonstop stream. They're not going to ever end it. It just goes and goes and goes. And it's live all the time. The only thing better for me would be on demand. I want to like pick the episodes and like pause them and capture stuff. I want to do GIFs. Like, I want to go nuts with it. But it'll do
I mean, G.I. Joe was the 80s, the 80s Super Friends. I mean, it had that kind of.
Yep.
You could just let it roll and it just didn't matter.
And it was so cheesy, just so bad. Like
the
only common thing those guys all had is that they were Joes and they were going after Cobra. But Cobra was basically a mashup of Lex Luthor mushed up with like Skeletor, mushed up with like the bad guy from Voltron. Like every possible villain was Cobra Commander, and then Destro walking around all cool with his metal face going,
Destro is way cooler than Cobra. I mean, way cooler.
I love it. I love everything freaking about it. So I'm all in. Oh, and they have it on Tubi.tv as well. That's Tubi. Cool.
Yes, I love that. And like I said, G.I. Joe, the good thing about a lot of 80s cartoons, they weren't subtle. I mean, Cobra was evil, 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 bad all the time.
They went
Transformers,
right?
Yep. Decepticons, evil, evil, evil all the time.
Yep. You're right. There wasn't, it was pretty easy to tell what the hell was going on, and it was flashy and dumb, and I kind of want to watch more of it. All right. I think Cobra and Skeletor were the same guy, I think.
Same voice. Yeah.
Voice I'll actor. Yeah.
His name now.
You fool. All right. Here's this. This sounds Genesis as hell.
The year is 1988. You're at the arcade.
Okay, arcade.
It was a sequel.
This music's awesome. Is the word boy in this?
No.
Okay.
Boy. Is the word boy in this?
Well, because there's that game called Something Boy with a little island boy that jumps around.
Right, right. This was not, you probably don't remember this as well, but you definitely remember the first one. I've heard you talk about the first one.
Okay, hold on. I'm stumped, dude.
Part two of Crazy Climber.
Oh, I didn't know they made a part two. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I love Crazy Climber. It's one of my favorite games ever. Are you telling me there's been a sequel to one of my favorite arcade games and I never knew
it? Absolutely. 1988 was the year. How far stretching it was, I couldn't say, but I did. I was, I forget what I was looking. I was reading something else. Had nothing to do with our pick for the week. And I didn't realize it was a Crazy Climber 2 either.
I had no idea.
And I went down a rabbit hole.
No idea at all. There it is. 88 to 93, blah, 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 blah. 1988 arcade game development published by Nichimbuchi, who is the same people that did the first one. Sequel to the 1980 arcade game Crazy Climber. The core gameplay is mostly the same, unlike its predecessor, 2 was only released in Japan. That's why. It never happened. Never came here.
There's the answer.
Yeah, it never came here.
I thought it was also, but it was later released on consoles, I believe.
Oh, was it?
From what I read.
It looks like SNES had it.
Right.
Oh yeah, this is definitely an upgrade graphically. I can see the difference here. But
that
only
explains it why Universe saw part two, I guess, because it's only released and here.
Super Famicom. Hold on. Super Famicom only, it looks like. Okay. Well, that explains it. This was a game that came out in Japan.
Had no chance.
I have some sound on it. Let's see what the sound says right here. Oh, it's only my left ear. I did not know they did a sequel to this. I'm blown away. Blown away.
It looks like it'd be fun, though.
Pretty darn
impressive for 1988.
Yeah, it looks all right. When I say SNES, I think I mean... Yeah, it came later on the SNES. That's what the deal was. But right. No, I'm sorry. Super Famicom. So not in the U.S. This never came to the States, Brian. Cheater. Cheater.
Cheater, cheater. Pumpkin eater.
Pumpkin eater. Brian cheats.
I didn't realize it didn't come to the United States. You're right. Wasn't cheating as much as just plain out ignorance on my part.
All right. I'm actually thrilled to know there was a sequel because I'm a big fan of the original.
Because I was like, I'd never heard of this myself. I'm like, I've heard of Crazy Climber 1. I said, I've never seen 2, but I'm like, as much as Scott loved the first one.
I loved
and
it.
Has gushed about it. I'm like, surely.
Dude, I want a Timex watch, a digital watch with like the calculator on it and everything in 1986 or whatever it was. I played it in arcade and I beat the high score for this contest and I won a shiny silver watch.
What?
For winning the high score in Crazy Climber.
Yeah. Where's that watch now, Scott?
In the
is it somebody's? Oh, okay.
It's under a golf course somewhere now, about 30 feet below it. All right. Well done. That was fun. Let's do this. All right. Time for an email. This email came to us from Cormac.
Cormac.
Probably not McCarthy. The author, Cormac McCarthy. Different Cormac. Anyway, boopshow@gmail.com is the email address he chose to use, and it goes like this. Hi, I'm a 10-year-old kid, and I've been thinking about getting a VR headset. This is my very first ever wanting to own one, and I'm curious which VR headset and what games I should buy. P.S. I love your show. The day an episode comes out, it's already on my watch list. Also, I love TMS as well and listen to it every night. Man, this 10-year-old kid. He's the best. He's the future. The Frog Pants future.
This is the coolest 10-year-old I've ever met.
Yep. You're the coolest kid. All right. So, yeah. I'm trying to think here. I mean, let's assume 10-year-old kids got parents with deep pockets. Okay?
Right.
If your parents have got the money, my personal recommendation right now, as it stands, would be to get an Oculus Quest. And here's why.
Agreed.
Tons of really great content wirelessly. It's great for all that stuff. You want to play Beat Saber? No problem. You want to play Pistol Whip? Got you covered. These are good games, by the way. Write those down. You want to play, what's the one? Super Hot. That's
Super
an
Hot.
Amazing game. And that's also on that thing natively. However, if you're like, man, all my friends are playing the cool PC-based VR games. Guess what? The Quest lets you hook up a USB-C cable directly to your PC, and suddenly it becomes a PC VR headset with just that one wire. And now you're playing Half-Life Alyx and dozens of other titles you can only get on PCs. So to me, it's the easy pick. It's the one that has the most value by far.
It's what, $399 or $499?
$399 for the 64 gig and 128 gig, I think, is $499. It's another $100.
Right, right. So and if you want to compare that to something else, you know, something like the PlayStation 4 VR is still going to cost you by the time you get the Move controllers, everything, and it's not going to be nearly as good an experience. However, if you already got a PS4, I don't know, I can't say. But yeah, so that's just kind of like where the prices are.
That's a good point about PSVR is actually a pretty good value if you have a PlayStation 4 and if you can deal with some of the technical hiccups that come with PSVR. Like, it's a little sloppy.
But they're all going to be in that, you know, $300 and above to have any good experience. You can, of course, get your little Google Cardboard stuff, but that's not VR.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a thing.
If someone tells you that's VR, they're lying to you.
Right.
Anyway, get a paper out, kid, says Fastidious in the chat room.
Get a paper out.
I don't know. It sounds like he's probably got it all together already. Who knows? Maybe he's paying for it by himself.
I know 12-year-olds who have the Quest, so I mean, I know it's a possibility. I know that it's kind of expensive. I don't know what your parents are spending, though, like Scott said. That's always a good question.
Yeah.
Got a birthday coming up? Got Christmas coming up? I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? No one knows. Do you know? I don't know.
Stupid rich kids.
Stupid rich kids. All right. Anyway, let us know how that goes for you there, Cormac, what you end up with. And if that's your real name, that's a cool name.
It's a great name.
I wish my parents would have called me that. That would have been rad. All right.
But then there would have been a whole conversation where like, oh, look, this guy has my name. And then that would have been. Yeah, wouldn't
his
been
name is cool. My name, too, like the old song goes.
And I would have been like, whatever, Cormac.
Hey, don't laugh about Switch VR, Stalen Raven or whatever your name is. It'd be super easy to do. Here's all you'd have to do. USB-C at the bottom, out to a headset. Doesn't have to be that crazy or fancy. You could do some low res, nothing too crazy graphically. You could do it, though. You could do it. Nothing wrong with that. You
right.
can sit there with
nothing
your hand.
Wrong with that.
Get your Switch in your hand, and you're going, oh, yeah, look at this. I'm in a virtual world.
Whee. It's a good question, and so I was actually thinking about it earlier because I was having a conversation with my 12-year-old in the house, and they were talking about, they said, I want the new PlayStation, the PS5 coming out, and I said, well, I'm kind of leaning towards the new Xbox machine, and we were talking about pros and cons, you know, we've already seen the controller for the PS5 or what has been the prototype for it, and it looks very cool, that is a plus, but will Xbox and the next generation do VR? I haven't even looked. Have you even? Is it even a?
There, I have. The PlayStation VR is reportedly going to work with the PlayStation 5, but they have not announced a sequel or a successor to the actual PlayStation VR. Like, no PSVR 2 has been announced.
Right. Well, what about Xbox? Have they talked
Xbox
anything about it?
Said,
I haven't looked at any of this.
They have said they have no plans for VR this generation that they can announce. I mean, obviously, nobody ever says nothing, or, you know, they never say
right,
never.
Right.
But they have not, that is not part of their launch plan at all. So do right. not hold
Good
out
enough.
Too much for the console makers. Although, again, PSVR was a success for Sony. They sold a ton of those, especially as a thing that you don't get in the box when you get your PlayStation. You got to buy it later and for a hunk of money. That alone usually kills accessories, right? But this did really well. So I think they have every motivation in the world to make a sequel. Or I keep saying sequel. A successor to the PlayStation VR. And if they do that, maybe you'll wait around for that. But if you're getting into it right now, the Quest is the value to have. It's the one to get.
Yes.
And you might be one of those people. Let's say your parents hate Facebook. Facebook is technically the parent company of Oculus. I could understand why that would be a thing, right? But just go in there knowing that that's a possibility. So if you say, Dad, I'd really like an Oculus Quest, and they'll go, no boy of mine's going to wear a Facebook headset and live. Like, if that happens, just know that, you know, you're aware of it now before you have the problem, all right?
Right, right. We like to equip you with all of the information, including your terrible parents.
Absolutely. Right. Here's the deal, though. If you're like Cormac and you want to send a message into the show, it's super easy. Either go to the website at frogpants.com/BOOP and just use the little form there, or you can send us an email to boopshow@gmail.com. We'll take it either way. Speaking of which, that website gets you everything, frogpants.com/boop. You can also find us on the web via Twitter, @boopshow. You can find Brian at TheBrianDunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson.
Oh, hi.
You can find our Reddit over at boopshow.reddit.com. Guess what else? We're not going to stream a little Deep Rock Galactic because Brian's got other stuff to do.
Boo!
But maybe next week we'll talk about it in advance and then we'll do it. How about that? That sounds all right.
I think that is a brilliant idea.
I do too.
I am down for it.
All right. That sounds great. Brian, any final words of wisdom before we cut out of here?
Don't just give your money away. Play free games.
Oh, I like what you're saying. I like what you're cooking. That's going to do it for us. Thanks everybody for being here. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.